Galatians chapter 1, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 1, title of our thoughts this morning. It is time to grow spiritually. Time to grow. I like it during the summer months, especially July, late in July and August, when people start bringing in produce on Sunday nights or Wednesday nights. Tomatoes, cucumbers. Green beans were brought in the other day. Did you get some of those? I cooked ours up the other day. We ate them all at one sitting. Somebody brought in kale once. We won't mention their names, but they're sitting over here off the middle aisle. But you know, we find that produce is something that a garden is supposed to do, right? We, as believers, are to produce. The Lord's desire for the born-again believer is that they will grow spiritually and conform to the will of God. That's His desire. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not, notice, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your minds, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Ephesians 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Galatians 1:6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. I'm sure that was hard for the Apostle Paul to write. I marvel that ye are so soon removed. Maturity is something that every believer should strive to obtain. Maturity, fully developed, adulthood, grown up. To grow physically mature, one needs proper nourishment. To grow spiritually mature, one needs proper nourishment. We begin with the milk of the word, and then move on to the meat of the word. Shall we stand together? We begin reading at Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren which are with me under the churches of Galatia, grace be to you and peace. Remember, as my dad often said, grace always comes before peace. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your love and for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for this grace that you have shown unto us. Lord, we ask now your hand of blessing upon this day. Be with those who are watching online and for those that are here. Lord, we ask a special blessing. And we ask it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. You may be seated. Keep your place there in Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto him, let him be accursed. As he said before, so shall I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto him, unto you, than that we have received, let him be accursed. I marvel, Paul writes, that ye are so soon removed from him. I have to wonder, as he wrote those words, did he highlight them in some way? Did he underline them in some way? Did he let them know how much it bothered him that they had drifted from the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, how many I have seen just in my years here at this church that have drifted from the cause of Christ. Not that they are going to another church, but they are not going anywhere. They are not serving the Lord. And the Lord would say of them, I marvel that ye are so soon removed. Three main points today. Number one, marks of the spiritually degenerate. Marks of the spiritually regenerate. Let's go to chapter 5, if you would, please. Galatians chapter 5. We'll begin reading at verse 1 down through verse 7. Paul writing says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't let religion come in and take you bondage. Don't let other things take you and direct you in a different way. Paul says, behold, I say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Notice this word, this thought in verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Who did hinder you? Who kept you from going in the right direction? Ye did run well. Now, for you that enjoy running or have enjoyed running in the past, if you are in some type of a meet, a track meet, a cross country, there is a designated path or trail or course that you must follow. And if you cut across the middle of the infield, you're going to be penalized. If you're running cross country, if you're caught going in a shortcut, you will be penalized. But how about those that just simply stop? They've had enough. Folks, in our Christian walk, we are told to run with patience the course that is what? Set before us. Ye did run well. To the one that is spiritually spinning downward, there will come dullness and sluggishness in hearing the word of God. Now, I realize that there are times in which you say, wow, do I have to go to church again? Wow. I mean, I just was there. Now, don't tell me you've never said that. Because if you say you've never said that, I'm going to feel really bad, because I'd hate to think I was the only one that has ever said that. And you say, Pastor Paul, and yes, there have been times I thought, do I have to go again? But you know, I'm always glad when I do come. I'm always glad after singing that first song that I'm here and that I'm part of it and that I get to either hear the Word of God or preach the Word of God. We need to realize how important it is. Because Satan's desire is to stop us from hearing the Word of God. And how many have become sluggish, uncaring? There is a lack of concern for their spiritual brothers and sisters. There is a lack of concern for the spiritually lost. They have become complacent in their giving to the cause of Christ. You know, I want to thank you for giving, especially since we no longer pass the offering plates. I have, as some of you know, I have been hired by William Sullivan Funeral Home to work part-time once I have stepped down from here. And I've already been to a number of funerals and in some of the churches in the area. And you know what I've seen in these other churches? A box. And you know what the box is for? For the offerings. So we've all gone the same way. We still need the offerings to continue. But the fact of the matter simply is this. There are those who have become complacent in the giving to the cause of Christ. J.O. Smith writes, quote, "When a Christian of some years loses their taste for the meat of the word and reverts to the milk of the word, or worse, has no desire for the word of God at all, it is a sign of spiritual decline and total backsliding from the things of the Lord," unquote. If you wonder if you're backsliding or if you're backslidden, then you just look at this. How much does the Word of God mean to me? Do I care for it? Do I love it? Do I pursue it? Moving along, point number two, the marks of spiritual maturity. Now, all of us would like to think that we are spiritually mature or at least heading in the right direction. We find a couple of thoughts here. A desire to be holy rather than happy. A desire to be holy, to be right with God versus having a good time with the lost. See, I believe this, that as believers, our desire should do is to be with God's people. I mean, after all, we're going to spend all eternity with each other. And so I believe we should desire to spend time one with another. That's why the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. That we are to come together and enjoy one another's company. But a mark of spiritual maturity is a desire to be holy rather than happy. A second thought, an attitude of giving rather than receiving. An attitude of giving. I remember the pastor that said, "I cannot afford not to give." We need to realize that you cannot outgive God. And that we ought to give a tithe and an offering. It shows our faith in our Lord that He will take care of us. So there should be a desire to be holy rather than happy, an attitude of giving rather than receiving, then a fruitful life as opposed to a barren life. A fruitful life as opposed to a barren life. Our next door neighbor a couple of years ago planted a peach tree. And the tree grew that first year and it didn't produce anything. Not a thing. He let it continue to live, and last year it grew, and at the time in which you thought peaches would come, there were a few peaches on it. Not many. But this year, as we look out our kitchen window into his backyard at the peach tree, it is full of peaches. The other day, there was a knock at our door, and it was our neighbor bearing a plate of peaches. You know, that tree was to do what? Produce peaches. To produce peaches. The mark of a mature tree is that it reproduces itself. Fruit is the evidence of maturity. Are we growing in the Lord's work? in the Lord's walk, in the Lord's will. So there is a desire to be holy rather than happy, an attitude of giving rather than receiving, a fruitful life as opposed to a barren life, a life of love. We talk an awful lot about love in a church. I don't care what church it is, they talk about love. You think love's important? Yes. Jesus said we're to love our neighbors as ourselves. We are to be concerned one for another. The highest manifestation of spiritual maturity is love. Love. For God so what? Loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. See, the fact is, God is love. Now, never forget that he is also holy and just. And he has provided a way of salvation for you and for me. A life of love. One of the hardest things to do when you're angry is to love. When someone has disappointed you, to love. When someone has betrayed you, to love. Yet Jesus Christ, while there on the cross, he's about to be nailed down, and we find him saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. But he loved us. Point number three, marks of growing in maturity. Marks of growing. Now, I didn't have this happen at my house, nor did I do it with my boys, but I have seen it where people have taken a pencil and marked the height of their children at a certain point. And maybe you did it, or maybe you've seen it, where as the child got taller, there were more marks on the, usually a door post, door lintel. And they marked it as they grew taller. And of course, the child is excited about that. Now, my wife is not with us in the room, so I can say this. You know, my wife isn't the tallest of people. And she would tell you from a recent measurement that she has shrunk a little bit, which she is not happy about. But you know what happens when her grandkids get to be about her height? They get all excited. And then when they get taller than her, they just are all excited. And I'm taller than you, Grandma. Yeah, she has taught kids down through the years. The kids have one desire to get taller than Donna. You know, there is this desire of growing. Are we growing spiritually? If we had been put up against a wall and there was a mark of where we are at such and such a time, have we gone beyond that? We need to have the Amos 3:3 lifestyle. Can two walk together except they be agreed? And it's not that God agrees with us, but it's that we agree with God. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes it's hard to say, okay, Lord, your way be done. Your will be done. Can two walk together except they be agreed? How important it is that we are walking in the right direction, that we are growing in the right direction. According to Hebrews 5:14, their desire consists of strong meat. Listen. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Their diets consist of strong meat. Now in a little bit, some of us are going to go downstairs and Rudy already has the hot dogs cooking. Thank you, Diane, for providing the hot dogs. And we're going to put them in buns. Thank you, Janice Allen, for bringing in those buns. And then I notice that there are other things downstairs, too. Some things on the dessert table. Now, that's always a good place to begin. But, you know, we eat food. Is all food that we eat good for us? It may taste great. In fact, it might be the most tasteful food that we're going to have, but not everything we eat is really good for us. But the Bible tells us we need to be eating the meat of the Word. Not just God is love, but that God is holy, that He's just, that He's merciful and patient. See, if we're growing in maturity, we are willing to follow the Holy Spirit's leading. Let us be born along to maturity is the injunction we should be willing to follow. Are you allowing the Holy Spirit to lead? Before you purchase that car, did you pray about it? Before you purchase that house, did you pray about it? Did you ask the Lord's will? You know, the fact of the matter is this, that oftentimes we do things without ever even giving God a second thought, without even asking Him to protect or to guide. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image of spiritual maturity, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Growing in spiritual maturity. Would you please turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we'll begin reading at verse 15. "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Redound to the glory of God. Do you realize that our life should be in such that we bring glory to the Lord? That should be our desire, to bring glory to the Lord. "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Can I tell you something? That up through about the age of 60, I thought life was pretty good. But since I turned 60, it's been downhill. The outward side may look good. You know, I still may look like a 10. My wife told me the other day, this is what she told me. She goes, "I know what a good man looks like, or a handsome man looks like." And I thought, uh-oh. And she goes, "You're one." I thought, that's pretty nice of her to say. And our physical body, though, begins to show its age. Glasses. My wife and I tease each other about our not hearing well. The other day she was talking and I could hear something, but I had no clue what she was saying. So I had to turn around and walk back to her and I said, "Say that over again." And she just kind of looked at me like, "Oh, you're hearing." Of course, she has the same issues. But things begin to start deteriorating. But folks, our spiritual life continues to mature if we're going in the right direction. See, all of us right now are headed for a coffin. Every one of us. And we have no guarantee of tomorrow. No guarantee. So we need to make sure that we are walking in the right direction. Verse 17, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." A final thought. Are we living a life that when it's over, our Lord and Savior will be able to say, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Well done. A dozen years or so ago, I went to the Twin Cities there in Minnesota where my son Brian was in a marathon. And he did a marathon in the rollerblades. And I remember telling him as he was about ready to leave, I said, remember, it's not a sprint. It's a marathon. And he took off when his group was allowed to leave. And he did not win. I would like to say that he came near near the first group, but he didn't. But you know what he did? He finished. This marathon is along the Mississippi River. And then on the way back, now get this, on the way back, the last quarter mile is going into the city uphill. So you've just gone 26 miles on pretty much flat material, though a rising up and down. But now when you're worn out, you have to go uphill to the finish line. And I was watching because I knew that he was going to puke. He did almost every time. And sure enough, right there in front of God and the whole world, out it came. But he finished the course. Do you think I ran up to him and said to him, you didn't finish in first place. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. Do you think I said that? No, what did I say? Good job. Well done. Folks, we need to live a life that will bring honor and glory to our Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we stand together? Number 17 is our song of invitation. Number one, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? If you were to die before you got to the parking lot, where would you spend eternity? And number two, if you know Christ is your Savior, are you living a life that will bring honor and glory to His name? Dear Heavenly Father, as we have this invitation time, Lord, we thank You for Your blessings. And Lord, we thank You for the opportunity of salvation. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit would move and touch hearts, even right now. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.